As I said, this is our last study of the book of Ruth. However, this does not mean that we have uncovered all the spiritual lessons from this book. There are so much more that we have not gleaned from just these four chapters of this book. There are many more lessons that we can glean from this narrative, which I hope you will do so in your private devotion. I hope that our brief series of study will move you and encourage you that you will do a further detailed study of this book and to benefit from the various spiritual lesson therein. The book of Ruth opens with three funerals, as we have considered the last time, but here the last chapter of this book closes with a wedding, a note of joy and gladness. There is a good deal of mourning and sorrow recorded in the first chapter, but the last chapter here records an overflowing of joy in the little town of Bethlehem. How true the words of the psalmist, isn't it, that says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy cometh in the morning." Psalm 30 verse 5. Of course, we must not forget that not all of life's stories have such kind of a happy endings. As we are living in a sin-cursed world, we must not forget that. However, this short account reminds us that for us, the believers, God still writes the last chapter of your life. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as you walk with Him, remember, regardless of the vicissitudes of life, God still writes the last chapter of your life. We don't have to be afraid or fearful of the future. Why? And as you know, because our Lord Jesus is still on His throne. He's still on His throne. The last chapter focuses on three important principles of this law of Kinsman Redeemer that beautifully illustrates the spiritual redemptive principle or redemptive plan that God set forth for His chosen beloved people. First, we want to look at Christ, the Kinsman Redeemer. Christ, the Kinsman Redeemer. We need to see here, firstly, the wisdom of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, His utmost love and detailed care for His redeemed people. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God, the Creator of heaven and earth, has both the macro and the micro view or plan for every one of His chosen people. The law of the Kinsman Redeemer is stipulated by God in the book of Leviticus in chapter 25 verses 23 to 24, and of course the law governing the Levirate marriage is also found in Deuteronomy 25 verses 5 to 10. And as you know, the purpose of these laws was to preserve the name and protect the property of families in Israel. That's what God has set out in His law for His people. The foundational principle of this law is that God is the owner of the land. God is the giver of the land. And He did not want or desire it to be exploited by the rich people who would take advantage of the poor people and the widows. The law of the Kinsman Redeemer is to ensure that the that man's family name did not die with him, and that his property was not sold outside the tribe or the clan. And this is God's law to supply the needs of his people, to provide for them in his providential care. The tragedy, the sadness, of course, is, as you know from scripture, many of the Jewish leaders, the rich, didn't obey this law, and the prophets had to rebuke them, and God had to punish them for stealing the land from the helpless, which God gave them for their sustenance, so that they can plant and grow and for to support themselves and their family. The Israelites' abuse of the land was one of the causes for their captivity, which we know or read in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 21. And so as we look at this, we look at the word or the meaning of this word redeem or redemption. The word means to set free by doing something, to set free by paying a price. In the case of Ruth and Naomi, Elimelech's property had either been sold or was under some kind of a mortgage, which the children of Israel are allowed to do with the land that the Lord has given to them. They can mortgage it out or rent it out, so to speak. And the rights of the land had been passed to Ruth's husband, Mahlon, when Elimelech died. And this explained why Ruth was also involved in this transaction. But she was too poor. Too poor, however, to redeem the land. Ruth and Naomi had no means to redeem the land. They are helpless. And so we draw a spiritual lesson from this. The spiritual significance of this law is that when it comes to spiritual redemption, when it comes to our soul, our salvation, every one of us must realize that we are all in bondage to sin and Satan without exception. Ephesians 2, 1-3, John 8, 33-34. We know that from this part of scripture. And we are unable, none of us are able to set ourselves free. None of us are able to pay that redeemed price, no matter how hard we try. The Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom for sinners, and those who have faith in him, that is the only way that will set sinners free from bondage of sin and from the guilt of sin. It is Christ who alone can give the sinner true freedom to those who were enslaved in sin. There is no other way, no other method. Therefore, Jesus says, if the Son of Man therefore shall make you free, he shall be free indeed. John 8:36. Then we look at also the marks of the Redeemer. Not everyone, notice here, not everybody can perform the duties of a kinsman redeemer. To begin with, he had to be a near kinsman, according to Leviticus 25:25. And this was a major obstacle Boaz had to overcome, because another man in Bethlehem was a nearer relative to Ruth and Naomi than he was. So when we see the role Boaz performed, what do you see? You see a type of Christ, the Lord Jesus. It reminds you that Christ had to be related to us before he could redeem us. And how did God do it? He became flesh and blood, so that he could die for us on the cross. When he was born into this world in human flesh, He became our near kinsman. And Christ will remain a kinsman to all who believe for all eternity. Think of it, brethren, those of you who are the blood-bought children of Christ. Watch what matchless love, isn't it, Christ has for his people, for each one of you, his children. In order to qualify, the kinsman redeemer also had to be able to pay the redemption price. Ruth and Naomi, they were so poor to redeem it themselves. But Boaz, this wealthy farmer, he had all the resources necessary to set Ruth and Naomi free and to purchase the land for them. Again, from the spiritual perspective, when it comes to the redemption of sinners, nobody, none, but the Lord Jesus Christ has the standing and the qualification and the status enough to pay the price. In fact, he has more than enough. He is more than enough. He is the Son of God. The payment of money can never set sinners free. It is the shedding of the blood of Christ that has accomplished redemption. True Christians, those who are born again Christians, have redemption through Christ's blood because the Lord Jesus gave himself for sinners. Titus 2:14. And without the shedding of blood, as we are told in Scripture, there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness, no remission, no freedom and delivery from the bondage and the guilt of sin. There was a third qualification, and the third qualification had to do with be willing to redeem. Be willing to redeem, as we shall see in this chapter. Since the nearer kinsman was not willing to redeem, isn't it? We read that just now, because it will mark his own inheritance, which I'll explain later. Boaz was free to purchase both the property and the wife. The nearer kinsman had the money, referring to that first one, but you see, he has no heart, no motivation. He was afraid he would jeopardize his own family inheritance. Why? Because this levirate marriage is a costly affair. It is a costly investment. The return of this investment that this kinsman redeemer, the cost is very high. Why? And the person is not willing to do it. Why? Because after all his investment, all goes back to who? Not his own son. To Ruth's son and not the kinsman's son, you see. So he was not prepared to do that. So from here, and of course he has a way out, so to speak, because there is another kinsman, Boaz, here. But from here you can see one comforting note, and that is of Christ's self-sacrifice. Christ was more than willing to pay that ransom price. But of course we have to note here, though we say that Boaz is a type of Christ, yet there is a huge difference between Boaz and Christ. Why? For the Lord Jesus Christ, for Boaz, he is obligated by law to be the next kinsman redeemer if the first one refused to do so. But not for our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not obligated to redeem anyone. Whereas Boaz had the responsibility as a relative to Naomi, as stated in the laws of God. For the Lord Jesus, he offered himself willingly, sacrificially, to be our kinsman redeemer out of a heart of mercy, grace, and love. After all, every one of us, let us not forget, those of us who are born again or true believers, genuine Christians, we were rebels and at enmity with God. That blessed relationship between God the Creator and man the creature was severed when Adam rebelled against God in disobedience. It is the love of God for undeserving sinners that moved him to send Christ, his beloved Son, to the cross to die for sinners. The key theme of this redemption, the key theme of this chapter is on redemption. The words redeem, buy, purchase are used at least 15 times in this book. There can be no redemption without the paying of a price. From our point of view, salvation is free to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Acts 2:21. But from God's point of view, redemption is a very, very costly thing for God. And as you know, I think this is very common, particularly among evangelicals and our BP churches. It is often said salvation is free. And we say it so casually and so freely. But I beg to differ. Salvation is not free. Salvation is freely available to you and me and to all sinners. However, it is not free because the ransom price or the penalty for sin is fully paid by Christ on the cross by his blood. No sinner can pay or ever be able to pay for his or her own salvation. Only Christ, the Kinsman Redeemer, can and able to redeem sinners who by faith believe and trust in him as their personal Savior. And the only payment, the only ransom price that God will accept is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. And that is why in Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood is no remission. At the end of the Levirate transaction here, there were weaknesses we see here. We move on right now to the next part. We see that there were weaknesses present to testify that Ruth belonged to Boaz. You see that in verse 9 to 10. For the Christians, what about us? Do we have weaknesses? Yes, we have. For the Christian, as God's redeemed people, we have witnesses from heaven, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. 1 John 5, 9 to 13. When the Lord Jesus Christ finished purchasing his bride, what happened? He sat down in heaven on the right hand of God. Why? Because the transaction was completed. Redemption accomplished. The Lord Jesus himself declared in John 19 verse 30, it is finished. It is accomplished. It is done. Next, the second important principle of the law of Kinsman Redeemer is that Christ is not only the Kinsman Redeemer, he is also our Kinsman Rewarder. In the verses that follow after the affirmation of the transaction by the witnesses, as you see in verses 11 to 12, what do we see? We see the covenant community sincerely rejoicing with Boaz and Naomi and the whole village. They were in a very joyous mood. because what they are doing, what Boaz is doing the will of God. And so this sacred union between Boaz and Ruth is not a private affair, as you notice here. It includes God, it includes God's people, and every bride and bridegroom should desire the blessing of God and God's people on their marriage and their lives together. The pronouncement of blessings by the witnesses signifies to us a very important spiritual lesson, and that is what? Those who humbly do and obey the will of God will be richly rewarded. Our God is no debtor. When you and I make that small little attempt or sacrifice to honor Christ in whatever way, remember, God has a notebook, or he doesn't need a notebook. He remembers, and you cannot outdo God. You cannot outdo God in honoring him. He will repay, he will reward. The people prayed that Ruth would be fruitful in bearing children, because for the Jewish people, children were considered a gift and a blessing from the Lord. And this is affirmed in Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. The use of the word here, afelta, in verse 11 is significant for us. For the Hebrew word there means fruitful. The people wish Ruth to be fruitful and famous and bring honor to their little town. It was the place, this little town, it was the place where Rachel was born, as we know from Genesis 35 verse 19. But more importantly, this place, this little town, it will be known as the place where Jesus Christ the Lord was born. What a wonderful transformation and blessing came upon Ruth's life, and also for Naomi, because they trusted Boaz and submitted her life to him. Ruth went from loneliness to love, from toil to rest, from poverty to wealth, from worry to assurance, from despair to hope. Is this not a picture of each one of us who are in Christ? Were you not like Ruth before you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Ruth was no longer Ruth the Moabitess, for the past was gone. She was making a new beginning. She was now the Ruth, the wife of Boaz, a name she was proud to bear. For the believers, one of the many images of the church in the Bible is the Bride of Christ. The Bride of Christ, which is the most beautiful and marvelous portrait of Christ and his redeemed people. In Ephesians 5, 22 to 23, the emphasis is Christ's love for the church as seen in his ministries. He died for the church. That points us back to the past. Then the Lord Jesus, through his Holy Spirit, sanctifies and nourishes his redeemed people, his church. How? Through his word. Which brings us to the present. And Christ will one day present the church in glory, which gives us hope for the future. Christ is preparing a beautiful home for his bride, and one day we'll celebrate his wedding in heaven. Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10. Revelation 20, and also 21 to verses 21 to 22. Finally, in the remaining part of this passage, we have the third principle of the law of Kinsman Redeemer, which is Christ, the Kinsman Restorer and Nourisher. The people in the village, they say to Naomi, And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age. What an encouragement, isn't it? God had been gracious to Ruth back in Moab by giving her faith to trust in the coming Messiah and be saved. God's grace continued when she moved to Bethlehem together with her mother-in-law, for God guided her to the field of Boaz, where Boaz fell in love with her. God's grace continued where? At the town gate, where the nearer kinsman rejected Ruth and Boaz purchased her. After the marriage, God again poured forth his grace and mercy upon Ruth and Boaz by giving her conception, and then by giving her the safe delivery of a son whom they named Obed, and the meaning of the name means servant. Then God used this baby to be a source of blessing to many. What a wonderful Savior Christ is. Firstly, Obed, this baby, was a blessing to Boaz and Ruth. And this was no ordinary baby, because we know from the Word of God that it is God's special gift to Boaz and Ruth, with a blessing to the home and also to the community in Bethlehem. Secondly, Obed was also a blessing to Naomi. His grandmother informally adopted him as her own son and became his foster mother. The women of Bethlehem shared Naomi's joy when they said, "Blessed be the Lord, which have not left thee this day without a kinsman." And of course, the reference is to Obed and not to Boaz. Obed was a restorer of life to Naomi. Every grandparent can testify or bear witness that grandchildren are better than the fountain of youth. Why? Because they feel very young in the presence of their grandchildren. Christ, our Savior, in saving us, the sinners, is also restoring in us what was marred by sin. How? By making us a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Obed would be a blessing to Naomi in another way. In what way? He would one day care for the family and that brought him into the world, including his grandmother, Naomi. Boaz had redeemed the family inheritance. Now Obed would continue this family line, protect the inheritance, and use it to sustain Naomi and his mother Ruth. He would live up to his name to be a servant to Naomi, his foster mother. Thirdly, Obed would bring blessing to the town, Bethlehem. The child would bring fame to both the family name and the name of this native town. Elimelech's name almost disappeared from this place, from Israel. But Obed would make that name famous again and bring glory to Bethlehem. And this happened, of course, through the life and ministry of King David. The one greater than David, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this became the place, the birthplace of Christ. Naomi would have the comfort of knowing that the family name would not perish but increase. And then fourthly, Obed would bring blessing to Israel. Obed was the grandfather of King David, one of Israel's greatest rulers. When the name of David is mentioned, we usually think of either Goliath or Bathsheba. David, yes, we know that he committed a great sin, but he was also a man of faith whom God used to build the kingdom of Israel. He led the people in overcoming their enemies, expanding their inheritance, and most of all, worshipping their God. He wrote worship songs for the Levite to sing and devised musical instruments for them to play. He spent a lifetime gathering wealth for the building of the temple for God, and God gave him the plans for the temple to be built by Solomon, his son. Whether he had in his hand a sling or a sword, a harp or a hymnal, David was a faithful servant of God who brought untold blessing to Israel through the work of God in his life. Fifthly, Obed would bring blessing to the whole world. The greatest thing that God did for David was not to give him victory over his enemies or wealth for the building of the temple. The greatest privilege God gave to David was that of being the ancestor of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. David wanted to build a house for God, but God told him he would build a house, a family for David. 2 Samuel verse, chapter 7. David knew that the Messiah would come from the kingly tribe of Judah, but nobody knew which family in Judah would be chosen. God, in his mercy and grace, chose David's family, and the Redeemer would be known as the Son of David. Matthew 1:1. Brethren and friends, as we close this chapter, yes, we know and we feel it, we experience it daily. We are living in an evil and lawless time like this, like the days of Judges, where there was no king. And we as believers can still seek first the kingdom of God and be loyal subjects to King Jesus. The name Elimelech means "my God is king," but sadly, Elimelech did not live up to his name, for he doubted God, he disobeyed, and went into the land of Moab. Even though there was no king in Israel or around us, or rather, there is no king in Israel, and all around us, as we see today, as we see every day, as we read the news, everything seems to be falling apart, everything seems to be going down, yet, there is hope. There is a king who willingly came to give his life, to be the kinsman redeemer to those who would by faith put their trust in him, and to allow him to be the Lord of their life, to be the king who rule in their life. And so we see here Ruth's humble and faithful commitment that make that difference in her life and in the lives of the people she loved. So the question now is, have you put yourself at the feet of the Lord of the harvest that Ruth did? Unless you do so, my dear friends, God can never be to you all that he desires to be. Unless you come to him in humble repentance, there is no hope. The only hope that we have to be delivered from this sin-cursed world, to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ, is to be found in him. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give thanks to thee for such a beautiful narrative, for such a wonderful ending in this last chapter of the book of Ruth, to illustrate to us, to give us a glimpse of thy wisdom, thy grace, thy providential care and love, in fact, thy special care upon each one of your children. We give thanks to thee, Lord, for your watchful care over each one of us, your children, every day and every moment of our lives. Though we often are not conscious of it, and very often we take all this for granted, have mercy upon us, forgive us, we pray.
Cleanse us once again by thy shed blood, and help us, Lord, that in this new week we may walk anew with thee, near to our kinsmen, and that, Lord, you may help us and give us wisdom, grace, the enabling of your Holy Spirit to live our lives as light of the world, salt of the earth, that glorifies thy holy name. And help us, Lord, in this new week, as each one of us return to our various calling, our various responsibilities and duties, that thou will also help us, that we may do all this well as unto the Lord, and to finish it well also for thy name's sake. Hear this, our prayer. Amen.